ABC Radio Australia.
Thousands of people on the outskirts of Papua New Guinea's capital are facing eviction from their homes within weeks as the city struggles to support a surging population. They live in Bushwara, a settlement community they built over 20 years ago. But the majority of the land they're using belongs to someone else who now wants it back. It's part of a much bigger problem for Port Moresby, where almost half of the city's residents live in an estimated 200 informal settlements. From Port Moresby, here's our PNG correspondent, Natalie Whiting.
Around 200 children attend Bushwara's primary school on the outskirts of Port Moresby. Paul Sukma is busy checking the maths work of the students in his class. He's a teacher and also the principal, all of which he does voluntarily.
We haven't received any funding since we started school. Till recently we received a little bit of funds from the governor.
Like most things in Bushwara, the school has been set up by the community. But the students and the rest of the residents are facing eviction.
Definitely we are worried, but what can we do?
The first people to move to Bushwara began arriving around 20 years ago. Back then, they say it was just empty scrubland. Lily Simon was among those early settlers.
I was a very young woman when I came. Now there is white hair appearing.
She moved here after being evicted from another settlement in the city.
After the first eviction, I slept outside without food. The children didn't go to school. It was some kind of life we were facing.
The people who moved to Bushwara built a neighbourhood. There's now a primary school, three churches, and a town square of sorts where people sell goods at makeshift market stalls and buses arrive to ferry workers into the city. But the majority of the land Bushwara is built on belongs to one of the country's biggest superannuation funds. Number One Super says it bought four large parcels of land in the area in 1990, but has faced a challenging process securing the sites because of a series of bureaucratic difficulties. It now wants to move forward with its plans to build master plan suburbs and affordable housing. The residents of Bushwara challenged eviction notices in court but lost and have now been ordered to leave by March. Community leader Tony Tator says they're planning to go back to court.
Because this is the last place that we are. There's no other place in the city that we can move out. So there's nothing much we can do, but we have to go back to court again.
Bushwara is one of an estimated 200 informal settlements in PNG's capital. Officially, Port Moresby has a population of 375,000 people, but the country's police commissioner recently estimated it was actually 1.2 million. A chronic shortage of affordable housing in the city has seen many people build their own small homes on vacant land. The city's governor, Powers Parkop, says these settlements often have higher crime and poverty levels.
Yeah, it's a massive problem here. About 40% of our city land is taken up by settlement, unplanned settlement, without basic amenities and services.
He's pushing forward with a long-running program to convert the settlements into suburbs. The governor says he's been negotiating with Number One Super to secure some of the land at Bushwara for the current residents to prevent a mass eviction.
It's not easy for us because, you know, we are dealing with our people. There are human rights issues, but there's no other way.
But people like Lily Simon remain worried.
All of these people, where will they go?
With the urban drift continuing and predictions Port Moresby's population could soon hit 2 million, finding a solution for the people here is just the start.
That's ABC's PNG correspondent Natalie Whiting on the ground in Port Moresby. For more on this, I spoke with Dr. Michelle Rooney from the Australian National University. She's done extensive research on urban housing and informal settlements in PNG. And I started by asking her if the situation in Bushwara is commonplace around Port Moresby.
I think in recent years, definitely. And this is especially so because of quite rapid developments taking place in Port Moresby. I think we saw around 2013 in the lead up to the APEC meeting, quite a lot of road construction, quite a lot of development. So this, along with the increasing value of land in the Port Moresby area, has led to a general trend in evictions, but also we are seeing sort of quite violent and forceful evictions happening more often.
And we don't necessarily hear much about those kind of forceful and violent evictions, do we?
They're sporadic. So what happens in Port Moresby is we have a number of these cases that are concurrent at the moment. So bushwara is a common story in the settlement story and development story in Port Moresby. And in other cases, you have communities that have managed to take their cases into the courts. So they might go into the court system and be able to succeed in having a stay order. So that might quieten things down for a minute. And then the other party, the party that owns the titles to this land, might also go to the court. So you have these sort of cyclical cycles of moments where an eviction notice might reach the point where it can happen, but then it returns to the courts. So that's so bushwara is one of several such cases.
In the case of bushwara, Nambwan Super, which owns the land, claims it wants to build master-planned suburbs with affordable housing. So why is it that the residents of bushwara are fighting to keep their settlement and is keeping their fight to stay on the land?
Well, I think it's important to understand Port Moresby land as having multiple layers of different actors who have simultaneous claims or occupation over the same land. So you have a historical legacy where Port Moresby's got a long history of private leasehold state land, which is overlaid onto previously customary land, and then you now have migrant settlers who are actually occupying the land and living on it. So the community out at bushwara, they're fighting for their right because they currently are living on the land, whereas the Nambwan Super might have the legal title to the land. So and as with all development where that involves land, you're always going to have a loser or somebody who will be pushed off the land. So the Nambwan Super's plans may or may not, we would have to find out, may not include the current residents of that land as potential beneficiaries of the development. So you can see a contest playing out here between the two parties.
Absolutely. Now, we've heard that Port Moresby's governor is talking about their plans to basically retrofit a lot of these settlements, converting them into suburbs. But with almost half of the city's population estimated to live in informal settlements, do you think this is a bit optimistic?
It's a very noble ambition, and it's also very, very ambitious. And I think, in this kind of context, it's really important that policymakers and generally that there's an understanding of what is meant by, big words like, suburb, turning a settlement into a suburb. For example, if this means promising people that you're going to give out land titles so that they can develop their housing, I think this is a very much more tricky given the land situation in Port Moresby, and I don't think it's sustainable to do because how would you select who would get such land titles? I think probably a more realistic approach to this kind of program And again, we would have to see what it entails, is to talk about how do you provide basic services such as water, schools, and health services to the Port Moresby population in a way that is inclusive for everyone who is living in the city, no matter where they live. And you have to also understand that settlement communities in Port Moresby are quite dynamic and vibrant communities. And in Papua New Guinea, where, you know, the reach of the state in terms of delivering services is quite limited, settlement communities are filling in quite a very large gap within their communities. For example, the Bushwara community, as we saw in that story, have established a local community school. And this is a common story. And, you know, you're addressing the needs of young children in the community and keeping a lot of young people off the streets. And so understanding how settlement communities work and some of the kind of innovations that are taking place there is very important.
And, you know, there actually has been some new developments in Port Moresby in recent years, hundreds of apartments being built. But, you know, we understand a lot of them do stand empty because they are quite unaffordable, with rent that's being charged being out of reach for a lot of people to pay. What does this tell, you know, what does this tell us about the situation of the housing market in Port Moresby?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of those places are just prohibitively expensive for most people, even if you work. So what you see in Port Moresby is this double or dual land and housing market, where you have one very high-end rental and sold housing and land market, and another which is parallel, which is informal, and people accessing land through other means, you know, not through the normal housing market. So either accessing settlement land through people they know, or and going to customary landowners and buying land. This situation isn't going to go away. It's a permanent feature of Port Moresby. So I think understanding it and working out how to deliver services in this context is important.
Now, moving forward, of course, what does the strategy need to be? As someone who research in this space, what do you think needs to be done in terms of the government, in terms of, you know, the housing housing situation and the informal settlements? Is there a way forward?
I think, first of all, appreciating the permanent nature of settlements, this is part of the city landscape, is a really, really important first step, because historically we also have a lot of negative portrayal of settlements. We have a lot of demonization of settlements. Settlements are often represented as being, you know, where the crime is bread and poverty. And I think as a first step is acknowledging the permanence of settlements in urban Papua New Guinea. The other thing is that land in Port Moresby is scarce, and the value of land is likely to keep increasing because of this scarcity and the developments taking place. And population increase is going to put pressure on this. For me, I think having a better understanding of how settlement communities actually navigate their way through these complexities is really important. One example that I have really come to respect settlement communities is the way that they navigate through water, accessing and managing water in the communities. As we all know, you can't live without water. And within settlement communities, they often have to manage water in a collective way. And this is in the very same city that many of us would understand. You turn on a tap and you have access that you pay your bill for. So there's this double system that that needs to be understood. And if we can focus on understanding how this works in local communities, then you can improve services.